to the portfolio committee meeting. And I'm also again sorry that I was experiencing some connectivity problems here. That's why I'm now on the phone. So I'm very sorry about that. The department will keep us updated on developments that side regarding whatever is happening on the side of the government building. Ntate Lubabalo, read the agenda to us, please.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Yes.
Good morning, sir. Today is a briefing by the department on how economic diplomacy contributes to addressing South Africa's domestic challenges. Thank you, sir.
Do we have apologies?
Yes, sir. I only received one apology, sir, from Deputy Minister Porteous. He's attending. Sorry, my apologies. From Deputy Minister Marshall Kozamini, she's attending NCOP, chair. Thank you, chair.
Thank you very much. There is an apology from Honorable Mpanza.
Okay.
He did speak to me and indicated that he has got something else to attend to. So he will not be with us throughout the meeting. So in the course of the meeting, he will be excused, as agreed with me yesterday. Any other apology? If there is none, honorable members, I'm now going to give over to the minister to commence with the presentation and introduce the team.
Thank you very much. Lady. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Please forgive me for the noise that we will have.
We understand, here. Mama. We understand.
Thank you. And should we be told that it's safe to go in, I will briefly cut off, but we'll rejoin the
no
meeting.
Problem.
I'm joined, Chairperson, by Ambassador Mokwena, who will, along with Mr. Nasruddin, make the slide presentation on our behalf. With your permission, Chairperson, I wish to make a few introductory remarks before they proceed.
No problem.
Thank you, Chairperson. So allow me to begin then, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I wish to thank you for inviting us to present our assessment on how our diplomacy-related activities in Africa have contributed to addressing the domestic challenges facing South Africa. As honorable members are aware, Africa is an economy of a combined GDP of around $3.5 trillion, almost equal to the GDP of Germany. The African Development Bank estimates that about 4.1% growth in Africa is possible in 2022. This is a worrying fall from their estimate of 2021, which was 6.9%. This fall, which is predicted, is due in part to the impact of the Russia-Ukraine conflict on global and African trade. Chairperson, the fortunes of our economic diplomacy are dependent on a strong manufacturing and industrial base, on global peace and stability, on good governance, free of corruption and conflicts, on a thriving agricultural sector, and on effective mitigation of climate change, as well as, Chairperson, the difficult one of assuring energy security. The first aspiration,
recording in progress,
would recall of Agenda 2063 is the call for a prosperous Africa based on inclusive growth and sustainable development. an Africa determined to eradicate poverty in one generation and build shared prosperity through social and economic transformation of the continent. Our Agenda 2063 is inextricably linked to the vision that is set out in our own South African National Development Plan, that by 2030, we, informed by our national interests, should be a globally competitive economy and an influential and leading member of the international community. This is the driver of the work that we do. Through the NDP, South Africa aims to address the triple challenges that honorable members are very familiar with of unemployment, inequality, and poverty, with a focus on creating a strong and inclusive economy. So, Chairperson and honorable members, economic diplomacy is a new reality toward the achievement of our national priorities through diplomatic work, and it complements the traditional political diplomacy that our missions perform. In the assessment that we present today, we include a number of key activities implemented as per the annual plans of the department. These activities are carried out both at head office and through our missions. The work of our department includes 1, identifying opportunities, 2, presenting these opportunities to South African companies, 3, supporting South African companies to pursue the interests we've identified, and 4, protecting the interests of South African companies where we can when they are threatened abroad. Through investment or trade chains, our belief that jobs are created, that we can eradicate poverty, and that companies which successfully invest are able to further reinvest the profits they earn in our country. In this regard, honorable members will note in our presentation that our assessment focuses on activities initiated, those supported, and those promoted by the department, and we try to give a sense of the impact of these activities. Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, our regional body, SADC, as well as our continental body, the African Union, also play an important role in creating a conducive environment for trade and investment, with the view to creating economic growth and employment for our continent. You will see through some of the work in partnership and cooperation activities that it is the AU that may lead, or indeed our regional body, SADC. Chairperson, honorable members would be aware by now that earlier this year I launched a mechanism that we call the Coordination Mechanism for Economic Diplomacy, or COMET. It brings together key government departments, state-owned companies, private sector organizations such as Business Unity South Africa, the Banking Association of South Africa, and other bodies to bridge the past silo mentality that we all had and to improve coordination of what we are calling South Africa Inc. in the pursuance of economic diplomacy. This mechanism, which is still at really its infant stage, will become a repository and a source of exchange of information on investment and trade leads under one contact point. We believe it will make our work easier in ensuring that our national interests are adequately marshaled, promoted, and protected. Chairperson, these were brief introductory remarks to set the stage for the substantive presentation that will be made by the team led by Ambassador Mukwena, who's the chief director in our Africa branch. So with your permission, Chairperson, I request that the team be allowed to present the assessment for the committee's consideration. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Ntate Mokoena, wa mohetse ntate Thuntsa Lerole.
Ke Mme Mokoena.
Oh, ke Mme. Ke kopa kinelo matsogo metsing intshwarele. Intshwarele ke kolota dikgomo, ke kolota dikgomo Mme Mokoena.
Thank you, honorable member. Yes, I'll appreciate the cows, but there'll be too many, S.M.E. Musoto, too many. thank you very much, Minister, and thank you, Chairperson, Mahuma Pelo, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee for giving us the time to engage with you on this very important topic involving our work around the continent as far as economic diplomacy is concerned. Chairperson, I'd like to just lay, in terms of the presentation, to indicate that we will cover the following. I'll engage the context. We'll engage the country-specific activities on the continent that involve not only our missions, but also the work that head office does, that DERCO does, and in some instances in collaboration with our partner departments. We'll also engage the work that SADC has done in the region and some of the challenges that we confront. And we will also be making some recommendations, Chair, honorable members and Minister. In terms of the context, we reflect on our strategic goals as in pursuit and achievement of national priorities. And these national priorities, honorable members, are illustrated there, alleviation or addressing triple challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequality through economic diplomacy. The key economic diplomacy objectives of our South African missions are encapsulated in the strategies or country economic strategies that we have developed with our missions. And these strategies engage, among others, value-added exports, facilitate outward foreign direct investment in prioritized sectors to enhance the image or branding of our country, and also to promote inward investment and tourism. We also utilize structured bilateral mechanisms, Chair, such as joint commissions, binational commissions, as well as other forms of engagement, such as negotiations around trade opportunities, and we also resolve challenges our companies experience through these structured mechanisms. We also utilize business fora in consultation, of course, with the DTIC and our missions. We also use business chambers and other platforms of engagement, Chair. On the African continent, we make use of very high-level engagements, which we believe play a very critical role in the unlocking of businesses and trade opportunities. And among those would be your joint commissions of corporations, which are chaired at level of ministers, sometimes deputy ministers. We also make use of senior officials meetings. We also, of course, make use of binational commissions, which are chaired at the level of the president. We have seen an increase in the footprint by South Africa in the engagement of our traditional markets. And also, we're also looking at identifying through our missions other non-traditional markets or new markets for investment and trade opportunities. We collaborate with the DTIC and, of course, other members of the economic cluster, such as the DMRE as well as science and technology, to identify new markets, as I indicated. Chairperson, if we are to see a lot of yield in the economic space, we have to ensure that we have laid a good ground for regional and continental peace and security. So part of our work in order to cultivate ground for economic prosperity is to ensure that peace and prosperity and continental peace and security prevail on the continent. We make use, of course, of our SADC regional body, which plays a very critical role towards economic integration and industrial development in the region, Chairperson. If I may, on the second slide, give practical examples of how we engage around structured bilateral mechanisms. And if I may also indicate, Chair, that we have plus minus 41 structured bilateral mechanisms. And these are, as I indicated, either senior officials meeting, senior officials led, or minister led, deputy minister led, or president led. I'd like to just demonstrate in brief, when it comes to country-specific activities, I would like to make an example of some of the high-level engagements that we have been able to achieve or engage to unlock economic opportunities for South Africa in order to address the triple challenges. And it also shows, Chairperson, that what DERCO does together with its missions, as well as with support from partner departments, together with companies, we can achieve a lot in the context of South Africa Inc., which Minister has referred to. The first example I'd like to make is arises from a state visit to South Africa by President Kenyatta in November 2021, which included Transnet Engineering among the site visits to Kudu Sport. And then this was followed by Transnet Engineering visiting Kenya Railways on 6 and 7 July 2022. Arising from this visit of July and also from the state visit of 2021, we developed a draft MOU between Transnet Engineering and Kenya Railway, and quotations for coaches have been sent to the Kenya Railways, and we await decision. We also yielded from that engagement, an engagement with a company for remanufactured air compressors, and they have since, Kenya has since sourced quotations from ourselves, and we await acceptance of the quotations following our submission or Transnet submission of these quotations. At the government front, Chairperson and Minister, we facilitate the signing of an MOU between the Government Printing Works and Kenya Printing Services or Kenya Government. And in this regard, we're trying to ensure that we can assist Kenya to print face value documents. And in this regard, we're talking about passports, licenses, driver's licenses, or any other forms, birth certificates, you name them, which our Government Printing Works of South Africa has proven to have a lot of experience in, and a lot of interest has been shown by a number of countries that we have visited or have come through to South Africa, who have also visited the facility of the Government Printing Works. Through our assistance as well, we assisted the Armored Personnel Carrier APC company called OTT. It produces armored personnel carriers. It's located here in Pretoria. And if they get the bid and have been shortlisted, of course, as one of the three bidders, if they do succeed with a bid, it will yield up to 151 permanent jobs, up to 70 limited duration staff, and of course it will also, in terms of spin-offs for other enterprises, it will yield about 18 benefits for 18 large enterprises, benefits for 26 medium to large enterprises, benefits of course for 61 small to medium enterprises, and benefits for 71 benefits for small enterprises. The amount of this contract is about $70 million, the value of the contract. On the next page, on slide 5, you can move to slide 5. As Minister indicated, we also do investor aftercare. So it's not always the case where everything will go right after an investment, and where things become problematic or challenging, we invoke our minister or president to assist to unlock. So in this regard, we have a very good investment, very high investment in Uganda through the IDC, which is a 10-year investment amounting to $115 million for the construction of a 296-room five-star hotel in Kampala. The hotel is finished and has got some occupancy, but there are challenges of repatriation of funds and so forth, which we are still working with the government of Uganda on. The engagements we had during the JCC with Uganda in Kampala during July this year ensured that the Ugandan government appreciates the challenges we experience around some of the investments, and it has shown keenness from their part to assist us as far as practically possible to ensure that we continue to invest in the Ugandan market. With regard to Seychelles, yet another example of how economic diplomacy, particularly in the area of tourism, has been able to provide a number of jobs for our young chefs. This year, during the Joint Commission meeting, the senior officials meeting, which preceded the Joint Commission meeting, which is still coming up in October, we agreed with the Department of Tourism of Seychelles that there would be an exchange program of learners up to 2024. And we learned from the benefits that we observed in 2018-2019 when South Africa had chefs participating in an exchange program. There were 30 chefs that participated in the exchange program. We ended up having 2 chefs gainfully employed in Seychelles. So this really helps alleviate some of the challenges, no matter how small the achievement might be. We also sold to Seychelles Police Force armored vehicles in terms of their program towards crowd management control. These vehicles will be delivered as soon as some of the fittings have been concluded or completed by a South African company. Very, very recently, a meeting took place with Rwanda on the next page by Westgrove, which took a trade mission to Rwanda. And within the trade mission was a company that manufactures defense equipment, and Milco. And some discussions were held, and a report we have a report that indicates what came out of the discussion as far as defense equipment is concerned, There's also a very interesting project that is going on between IDC, our mission, and the government of Rwanda. And in this regard, a company called Kivu Queens or an AfriNest have put together with the assistance of IDC funding, a floating luxury hotel on Lake Kivu in Rwanda. This luxury hotel is one of the few that you can find in the world, and to find one on the African continent of such standard brings a lot of tourism towards that part of the country. And it's also, this AfriNest is also in partnership with the South African Mentis Collection Group. And Mentis Collection Group does luxury accommodation across the continent in secluded areas. It's not your run-of-the-mill five-star such. It does very rare sites and accommodation such as what we find in the Kivu Queen cruise ship. Very recently, we also had a visit by two ministers from Comores around 9 to 12 August 2022. These were ministers of energy, water, and hydrocarbons. And they also had meetings with our Minister of Agriculture. They had meetings with IDC as well as DBSA to establish whether they would be able to fund some of the projects that would be arising out of their visit. They visited a number of companies as well, including the Polychem replacement parts, which manufactures electricity distribution components for national and regional grids. Comoros, if I may further explain, imports most of its basic stuff, food products, from various countries, including South Africa. There's also opportunity for them to import from our halal products here in South Africa, which are seeing a lot of interest throughout the world. Comoros has got a very large Muslim population, and we believe that if they can tap into our halal food products, this will augur very well for companies producing halal foods. We also, through our mission in Moroni, encouraged negotiations between Amro Aviation, which is a company based here in South Africa, to establish a route from Johannesburg to Moroni once a week. The Parliament of Comoros has approved that this company can fly once a week to Moroni. So we do believe that when operations start around November of this year, we will begin to see a lot more movement, a lot more trade between our two countries. The opportunities are vast. With regard to Mauritius, our mission is working very hard. Having had a lull over the past 2 years, they have resumed operations to engage in the area of economic diplomacy. And in this regard, our mission is planning to host a South Africa Week in Port Louis in October 2022. And this will facilitate or promote trade, investment, food, and so forth, produced by disadvantaged women. That is the target the mission wishes to achieve. The mission is also negotiating with the CMT, cut, make, and trim in textile manufacturing in Mauritius to develop a plant or resuscitate some of the township factories in KwaZulu-Natal, which had gone redundant in the area of cut, make, and trim, because Mauritius is known to do this very, very well. This project will, of course, provide jobs to the KZN community around Ladysmith. The mission will further host a small enterprise development agency, FIDA, and about 20 women and small medium enterprises between 26th to 30th September 2022 to showcase products. Mission is also promoting tourism in South Africa and has developed a video clip that shows rural destinations, not only your Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, but this is a very innovative video that I've personally seen that also promotes the rest of the rest of the country. Mission is also promoting the procurement of fish, particularly snook fish, by a company in Mauritius so that they can bring in snook fish into Mauritius, into the Mauritian market. With Ethiopia, on the 9th of June 2022, the mission held a meeting with Food and Agriculture, with FAO, an organ of the United Nations, to establish contact and explore possibilities of FAO sourcing its future agricultural supplies from South Africa. We don't know where FAO sources at the moment, but it is a good thing that the mission is engaging FAO to ensure that at least food products from South Africa are also sourced by them, as we are a member. The mission also engaged Chairperson in the 12th SEO Chamber International Trade Fair held in Ethiopia by the Ethiopian Chamber of Commerce and Sectoral Association. And in this regard, the mission was really trying to see if we can establish contact across the Ethiopian value chain for small, medium enterprises so that these enterprises can source a product from South Africa, a lot more products from South Africa. So as I indicated, Chair, we are not going to be exhaustive in all the countries. We are just sampling regions, as you can see. We are now going to move to some of the countries in West Africa. In terms of country-specific activities, again, on Cote d'Ivoire, we note that the department facilitated interest expressed by Umgeni Water in the Ivorian National Development Plan project titled Supplying Drinking Water to the City of Abidjan. And according to the Ivorian NDP National Development Plan, the total cost for the region financing and implementation of works to reinforce the drinking of water supply of the city of Abidjan from the River Mae is estimated at 294 million euro. So bilateral negotiations are underway, are still ongoing regarding the awarding of the project to Umgeni Water. Now, following Chairperson on the visit the President paid to Cote d'Ivoire during 2020 to 2023, July 2022, the Department facilitates submission of a proposal for dredging services for the autonomous port of Abidjan by a South African state-owned entity, Transnet National Ports Authority. I have disappeared. Apologies, I had just disappeared. And working with the Department of Transport, we also facilitated approval of Air Cote d'Ivoire's application for foreign operators permit. The airline commenced its operation in South Africa on 1st of July 2022. The Air Cote d'Ivoire flight will operate the fastest route between Johannesburg and Abidjan, completed under 8 hours, Chairperson. We believe that this route will contribute to increased traffic between the two countries and between South Africa and West Africa. And in turn, it will also increase trade and investment between our two regions, including, of course, the issue of tourism promotion. We also facilitated the defense equipment procurement from Cote d'Ivoire and Niger in South Niger, valued at approximately Euro 60 million and 57 million respectively. Supported Westgrow wine export promotion mission to Abidjan in April 2022. With regard to Senegal, through facilitating engagements between Nedbank and Senegalese embassy, the department supported Nedbank's participation in the recently concluded Euro 152 million debt financing for Minister of Economy, Finance and Planning in the area of supporting procurement of the firefighting equipment, biomedical equipment, communication and transmission equipment, as well as a field hospital. Chairperson, on Ghana, through facilitating engagements between the government of Ghana and a South African company, the South African High Commission in Accra facilitated the signing of the rail management agreement between the South African, the government of Ghana, and a South African company for the upgrading of the Western Rail Line in Ghana. The High Commission in Accra made input as well into the DBSA's due diligence on a road construction project in Ghana. The project is valued at Euro 270 million, and the DBSA is interested in funding 15% of the total value. With regard to Nigeria, Chairperson, there are approximately 120 South African companies operating in Nigeria in various areas, including telecommunication, financial services, hospitality, media, and entertainment. The department convened and hosted a business showcase between the aviation sector and the West Africa and West Africa in May 2022. And this, Chairperson, was in our view a very big achievement in that they started moving their pilot training from the US and Europe to South Africa. We also led the operationalization of the South Africa-Nigeria Joint Ministerial Advisory Council on Industry, Trade and Investment. This will unlock a lot more trade between our two countries, with Nigeria being such a populous country with a lot of opportunities and prospects for trade. Chair. So looking at SADC as our regional body, regional and global interests, Chair, lie at the heart of South Africa's foreign policy. Hence, SADC is a key component of the South Africa's foreign policy, which aims at promoting political and socio-economic integration among its member states, and to achieve peace, security, and sustainable development, allowing the region to address the key challenges of underdevelopment, unemployment, and poverty. SADC's primary goal, therefore, Chairperson, is to foster regional political and economic integration and continue to serve as the primary vehicle for South Africa's foreign policy to achieve regional development and integration within the Southern Africa region. In achieving this, SADC is guided by its blueprint, namely the SADC Vision 2050 and the Regional Indicative Strategic Framework or Plan of 2020 to 2030, the Industrialization Strategy and Roadmap of 2015-2063, and the Regional Infrastructure Development Master Plan. In this regard, in terms of SADC integration, in terms of SADC economic integration, the Council of Ministers held in March 2022 of this year reiterated the importance of industrialization in uplifting the livelihood of the people of the SADC region. Industrialization has taken a center stage chair in regional integration agenda. Hence, the industrialization strategy is premised on the conviction that regional integration will promote industrialization and the success of partnership consisting of government, the private sector, civil society, labor, and the development partners. To achieve the minimum threshold for protocol on industry to come into force, it is important that SADC member states who are yet to ratify the protocol on industry and tripartite free trade area should do so. Of course, we use our various mechanisms to keep asking or requesting countries to ratify this protocol so that it can come into force. The operationalization of the SADC industrialization strategy and roadmap is done through SADC programs and projects in line with the following focus areas, Chair. Agro-processing, mineral beneficiation, and energy. Pharmaceuticals, boosting skills to enhance regional integration, creating a mechanism for the involvement of the private sector. Also critical to the objective of regional economic integration is the realization of the tripartite free trade area, as well as the continental free trade area, AFCFTA, both aimed at boosting industrial and infrastructure development, enhancing intra-regional trade. Chair will be aware that in July 2021, the World Health Organization facilitated together with the World Health Organization the establishment of an mRNA vaccine technology transfer in South Africa. This facility is up and running, and we are yet to see a lot of benefits arising from this engagement from the mRNA vaccine technology transfer hub in South Africa. We have already been able to produce some vaccines from there, which were used on the continent around the whole issue of the COVID pandemic. There was also the granting of Johnson & Johnson intellectual property license to produce Aspenovex by a South African company, Aspen Pharmaceutical. That in itself also has created a number of jobs in that part of the country, Chair. SADC Free Trade Area. The Southern African Development Community became a free trade area in 2008. For the economic integration of its members, South Africa is one of the 13 member states that contributed to the consolidation of the free trade area by acceding to the SADC Protocol on Trade. South Africa has been the leading importer and exporter in inter-African trade for the past decade, Chair. The country has also led and entered a duty-free Southern African Customs Union, SACU, and the Free Trade Agreement, FTA, in the SADC region. Engagement of both Angola and SADC and the DRC regarding accession to the SADC Free Trade Area, in terms of our own facilitation, we've ensured that the DRC and Angola accede to the SADC Free Trade Area. Angola's tariffs offer are under review by member states. The offer does not address all technical issues raised by SACU and the SADC member states. In the interim, South African goods are entering Angola and DRC on a most favored nation principle. According to this principle, Chairperson, it seeks to ensure that no country is left behind in terms of its products, so that one country is favored over the other. The principle indicates that no country must be more favored than any other. There's a principle of equality among countries when it comes to the issue of trade around this principle. The free trade area also affords South Africa products preferential market access into the respective SADC member states. The free trade area provides for elimination of all forms of trade barriers, Chair. Greater and easy market access implies greater demand for South African products, therefore increased production, which could lead to job creation in Southern Africa and South Africa, of course. South Africa is still heavily dependent on mineral commodity exports, which also are also amongst its top exports to the Southern African Development Community. Chairperson, if we look at the figures that have been placed on the slide, even though the value, total value of exports from South Africa to SADC decreased to USD 17 billion by approximately 18.2% of total exports in 2018 from an average of US dollar 19.9 billion, which amounts to approximately 24.4% of total exports. The value of the top five exports from South Africa to SADC increased to USD 3.7 billion in 2018 from an annual average of US dollars at 3.6 billion from 2015 to 2017. South Africa's top five exports to SADC are petroleum, commercial vehicles, diamonds, and fertilizers, which constituted 4.0% of total exports in 2018. Of 2015, okay, let me leave it there. Though the free trade area, Southern Africa has become an important destination for South African exports. However, growing presence of countries, of some countries in the region which have taken a lot of interest in the region, really does threaten market access in the region. However, I think, Chairperson, what really should give us comfort is our proximity to the region. Even though some of those countries are big, but the issue of proximity might stand in our favor. There are some challenges that we have noted in our engagement across the continent, Chair. Among those are the issue of investment aftercare for South African companies, which have at times required of us to engage minister and or even at the level of president for their intervention to ensure that our companies are treated well and that they continue to do the best they can in providing product or services to the countries where they invest without a lot of red tape or challenges that they might encounter in the pursuit of their business interests. There's also the issue of foreign competition within our traditional market, which I have referred to. And here I've indicated that perhaps the issue of proximity and pricing might stand in good stead for us as South Africa. Because it doesn't take much to export to the continent, within the continent, and also in line with the continental free trade area. The perceived anti-foreigner sentiment within the country, Chair, we see it as a challenge because it has a possibility of impacting or affecting our national interests abroad, particularly on the continent. There's a whole idea where they have seen an event happen towards foreigners in South Africa. There is some kind of reciprocation that we can expect from across the continent. So we do caution around some of the developments that we have seen play out in the country. And in our bilateral engagements, we also engage our partners around these issues to ensure that we are in harmony with each other. There's also an issue of difficulty in repatriating some of our profits that our companies have accrued in the various countries of the continent. And this is somewhat also due to the unavailability of Forex in some parts of the continent. And this has caused some of our companies to exit certain markets. So this matter is also one of those very challenging issues that we believe will be addressed in due course. We have also noted delays in the issuance of visas for business, conferences, and tourists, which is something that we are in discussions with our Home Affairs Department on. And we do believe that some of the challenges that we have experienced will find resolution because of our continued engagement with our sister department. There are also challenges with energy security and the capacity of our ports that members will be aware of, and which I believe and we believe as a branch, the country is engaged with and trying to resolve these energy issues to ensure that our products are able to leave the country on time and within the right price, and within a good state. Some of the recommendations we'd like to make as Branch Africa Chair: we need to strengthen South Africa's business forums. We also need to engage, increase engagement with chambers of commerce and government. There's also need to continue to work on this whole issue of South Africa Incorporated, particularly to ensure that our investments across the continent are protected and that we do not hear of companies having left a particular market without having been able to intervene prior to them departing the market. So the mechanism that the minister mentioned in her opening remarks, the COMET, Coordination Mechanism for Economic Diplomacy, will, among other things, address some of those challenges to ensure that we stay on the continent and do as much as we can in partnership with our companies. There's need to ensure rapid response mechanisms for pandemics and any other emergencies that have the effect of disrupting trade and value chains, which we have seen during the pandemic period, which our president was very much pivotal in ensuring that the entire continent is not left behind. The negotiations that ensued to ensure that the continent will have opportunity to produce some of the vaccines is one such achievement that has arisen from our engagement in the multilateral fora around this issue of ensuring that pandemics do not keep us down and our trade down. We need to strengthen our holding of quarterly meetings in terms of sectoral departments, so that we do not wait until a joint commission takes place or a binational takes place before we engage countries of the continent around the structured bilateral mechanisms that we referred to earlier on, Chairperson. I wish to thank you, Chair, honorable members, and the Minister for allowing us to make this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ausiaka Kilebogile Thata. Honorable members, we received confirmation from the minister that what was happening was nothing serious. It was just a normal drill in as far as fire safety is concerned. So the minister and the collective are back in the building now. Everything is in order. There's the presentation. Honorable members, can we have hands. I see the hand of Honorable Hendricks and Honorable Faber.
Chair.
Honorable Nkosi and Honorable Mpanza.
Chair, can I ask for your indulgence?
Oh, because you are leaving. We'll start with you, yeah.
Yes, Chair, thanks.
Outstanding, you'll just also follow after Honorable Faber and then Honorable Bergman, you will follow after Honorable Nkosi. Yes, Honorable Mpanza.
No, thanks very much, Chair, for allowing me to start first. And also, well done in the interview that you had with the NCA3. And we're looking forward to the second round where we'll be talking about the economic policies.
Yeah, you're putting controversial things into the committee. Okay, Honorable Mpanza.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm more interested. I will be very much interested in the economic one because it will also be touching on issues like this one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Chair, thanks very much. Let me welcome the presentation. I think it's a very good presentation and very enlightening and very much empowering. Because one I was not aware that so much work has been done on the ground in terms of economic diplomacy and forging trade relations and also looking at the national interest of South Africa by the the chief director. Mgwena. Yes, but as much as one would appreciate the information, but Chair, I just want to ask a question that says, yes, of course, the minister talked about the three tribal challenges of unemployment, poverty, and inequality, but how is this translating down to the levels where people are? Because we can talk about the multi-conglomerates and multinational companies and all those things, but I think ourselves, as you always raise the issue, Chair, of the past imbalances when it comes to economic empowerment. South Africa is still unequal when it comes to economic opportunities. And of course, this is, even if other people, they always dispute this, but it is truth. It's informed by the legacies of colonial apartheid, which was with us for almost 300 years. And the damage that has been done will take years also to correct. But initiatives like this are very much important. But how is this translating to the grassroots? I'm asking this in terms of the township economy and also the rural economy. How a man, a person, a woman, or the man in the street, those who are selling on the streets, the street vendors, how are they benefiting this? How is this going to filter down to that level? Because if we don't empower the marginalized communities, those who are in the peripheries of the economic mainstream, in the townships, in the villages, and in the informal settlements. This economic benefits will be an elitist, you know, exercise that is benefiting those who have already been benefited, maybe through black and economic empowerment, those who have already been privileged in terms of the previous apartheid system. And then the people at the grassroots level will always be left outside. Because if we don't do that, the things that we have seen last year in July, the unrest and the looting and all those things, will always happen. And we are sitting in a time bomb. The high levels of unemployment of our youth, it's something that is a worrying factor. So as much as this is very much important, Chair, but I really want to hear something that will say there are clear programs from the department. Yes, of course, the department might not be dealing with these things directly, but in terms of intergovernmental relations with the other lead departments that are dealing, well, that are coming from the economic cluster, they can work together. So this is my cry, Chair, that really I really want to hear from the presenters or the department to them saying this is a plan that will come up with tangible benefits to our communities in those areas that I've mentioned. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbanza. Honorable Hendricks, you can go, Honorable Mbanza.
Thank you very much. Very much, Honorable Chair. I would have liked Honorable Mbanza to stay, because I would like him to hear that Al-Jamaa is meeting tomorrow a mission from the United Nations with our constituency in the townships to see how they can take people out of poverty by various means, including trade. So I would like to compliment the Department of International Relations for setting the seed for that. I agree with Honorable Mapanza that it is very important that all these wonderful ground-laying initiatives of the Department of International Relations go down to the townships. And for example, 2 weeks ago, I was in Atlasville, and there were 200 Muslim African female entrepreneurs that I had to address on different issues. And one of the issues that they raised was, how can they be part of the halal market that the presenter referred to? That is a few trillion dollars market where South Africa can play a very important role in supplying halal products. And I know that different provinces have been hard at work, and I'm very happy that it is still top of mind as far as international relations is concerned. But coming back to the townships, this Saturday we're having a master class in Groutville. I don't know if honorable members know where Groutville is, but that is where Chief Albert Luthuli is buried and where he was banished to, and where every ANC president has to visit once they are elected as president of the country. So that community, they grow peanuts on the riverbanks, the best peanuts in the country. And Al-Jamaa is assisting them now with peanut butter manufacturing. And guess what? At the first meeting, they told me that they want the peanut butter to be halal and to be transported all over the world. Just imagine Chief Albert Luthuli peanut butter all over the world, to honor one of our great Nobel Peace Prize winners and leaders. The government has just given a fishing vessel to Mapami Village. I don't know if honorable members know where Mapami Village is, but it is a rural village an hour from Mutata that has an ocean with 13 fish. So I was very interested to hear that Mauritius, they are very keen to taste, to get South African fish. So with regard to the advice given by Honorable Mapanju, that is where international relations should see. If we can't get that fish caught by the fishing vessel that government has now given to these to this co-op and villages, can't that fish be exported to Mauritius instead of the wholesaler that they refer to? There's also, lastly, Honorable Chair, a reference to the textile initiative in Ladysmith. The textile and clothing contribution, the Western Cape is the heart of, used to be the heart of dressmaking textiles. And we need the facility that is in Ladysmith to be in Cape Town. And the colored community and Cape Flats are continuously marginalized. And it is time that we get international support to revive the clothing industry, especially in the Western Cape. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And I would like to compliment the presenter for one of the best reports I've heard during my term in the 6th Parliament. And I hope that she is willing to do presentations to our constituencies, especially in the townships, business people, entrepreneurs, to understand the good work that the Department of International Relations is doing and how they can leverage on the mandates. So I would also like to suggest to the minister, if she's still around, that maybe there must be a special a person or a mission for small business. I serve on the portfolio committee. I'm very excited what I heard. I'm going to share it with the portfolio committee today. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Hendricks. That is one of the reasons why in this committee we agreed that we need to have at the community level, villages and townships, community-based international relations oversight forums. Those oversight forums, among other things, they are going to be dealing with matters of the nature that you raised and that Memo Kwena reported on behalf of the department. So I'm just re-emphasizing the point that you are making, that economy at a micro level is very, very important, and we agree with you. Memo Kwena, there's extra work for you from Honorable Hendricks. He says you may have to go to the townships and make the same presentations. Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just thought I was for a while in a different committee when listening to the feedback from other members. Chairperson, yes, my first way on this is that I do feel that this presentation should have been a joint presentation to trade and industry as well as with us, as obviously most of this fall in the Department of Trade Industry. So my feeling was to maybe just do a suggestion but that we do have a joint meeting with trade and industry on this. Chairperson, there's some disturbance.
Yes. Oh, I thought it's you. Maybe there's a radio. If there's anybody. Honorable Andres.
We get what is due.
Honorable Andres.
To our small business. So, members,
it's not my balance. It's fine. Honorable Andres, can you switch off?
To support or second or amend or add on the presentation.
Honorable Banif.
Yeah.
We are in trouble here.
Can the admin not mute?
And
can we try phone, Honorable Andres, or can you mute from the base operator?
Absolutely seconded. Absolutely seconded.
Thank you, members. So, okay. So we have now a way forward on this matter.
Can somebody help Honorable Andres?
I think it's important that we continue this. We will write this report. We will get a legal opinion and we will come back to
he's already implementing the halal market.
We also want you to communicate to your executive our unhappiness, and you still have time to reach in yourself.
With respect, the host must kick him off.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I am I audible? Thank you. Can any member just say if I'm audible now?
You are on audible, Honorable Faber.
I can hear you. Yes. Yeah, Chairperson, I did think that multitasking was a bit of a problem to Al-Jamal with so little members. So this is maybe why we got a bit of a mixed communication. He might have been on the wrong portfolio committee at this stage. Chairperson, yes. The first feeling that I've got, as I said, was that we should have a joint committee meeting maybe with trade and industry on this. It was very informative. Thank you for the presentation. There was, however, a few issues I would like to address. Starting when we were looking at the country specifics, we were talking about Kenya on trains. I'm not going to go into that because I've been at Kudus Poort a few years ago in NCOP, where the factory was empty, but we were importing trains, but let that be it. Then we are talking about government printing of Kenya. Chairperson, I'm concerned. We couldn't even print our own licenses a year ago. Minister Mbalula, we're talking about the one machine that we do have, which was in for repairs, and we want to support Kenya. So if we can get clarity, if it's the same type of printing, because we're talking about government, from what I understand, government documents like licenses, IDs, etc. And we didn't have the capacity to even do our own licensing with a bad backlog. So that was my second point. Then on the SADC exports, where we see that we're talking about petroleum. We've got energy, we've got trade and industry, we've got a lot of role players in this. And there's, we need to know, are we making money? Are we subsidizing other countries? It's like in the old days, in Afrikaans, we say this whole subject is as wait, soos die Here se genade. We're talking about almost everything in one small package. So that I feel that trade and industry and energy should also be into maybe tell us, are we making money? Is there profits? Are we maybe subsidizing other countries? As we know, some of our own trucks go just around the corner to Mozambique, and they go and fill up with Mozambique fuel for much cheaper, and we supply them. Chairperson, then my fourth point is with BRICS. I've not seen anything of BRICS here. Now, obviously, if we're talking about economic diplomacy contributing to South African domestic challenges, surely BRICS must be somehow playing a role in this. We've heard stories about, we know the BRICS bank is there, and we've even heard stories about the BRICS currency and other members that want to come in, etc. So I would like to get some clarity. Why don't we even hear anything about BRICS? Don't they play a role in this? So that will be my first inputs. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, anyone there? Did I speak to myself?
No, you didn't. I think that it's closed.
Thank you.
It seems that the chairperson may have been cut off. Is it possible for another member to assist the chair's back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Minister. Thank you very much, Honorable Fava. Honorable Msani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the presentation. Although I see quite a few shortfalls that we might have, regarding the economic trades and diplomacy that we have as Africans interstate with each other. First and foremost, Chairperson, I don't see us focusing too much on how we are going to be implementing the African Continental Free Trade Agreement on projects such as building of roads and rails and ports. Amongst ourselves as Africans. I know there's a separate program that is called a PIDA. Maybe one day when we get the opportunity, we should request the department to bring that section of the department to come and make a presentation on what project is PIDA currently involved in, because I know they also do energy, and they also do border gates, like your one-stop border gates, which is a project that started a while back. So we need to focus more on for economy to be sustainable and for economy to be smooth. We need infrastructure such as roads and your rail. And then the second thing, Chairperson, maybe the minister can also assist us when they are sitting in the AU. What is the plan of the African continent on maybe establishing a continental pharmaceutical manufacturing company? Because Africa relies mostly on imports for our pharmaceuticals, and I'm hoping that as the African continent, we would have learned a thing or two with the vaccine apartheid that we've seen during the pandemic. And I appreciate what Memo Kwena has said about these challenges on the anti-foreigner that's rising in South Africa. I wish that this department can really take this sentiment very serious and make awareness to ordinary South Africans so that they can see what impact this anti-foreigner stance that they are starting to have in South Africa is the damage that it's causing to our trade, to our neighbors, to our relations. Because she also made a very critical point on saying that, you know, as South Africa, we have more than 120 companies that are currently operating in Nigeria. But the sentiment that South Africans have is that, you know, Nigerians must go home. And some of these companies actually do take South Africans to go and start up these companies, to go and implement maybe senior management in Nigeria. So we need to educate our society what it means when we have such sentiments as anti-foreigner sentiment. And also a very other critical challenge that the department is raising and us as politicians will need to strongly look at is our rapid response mechanism. We are seeing as the African continent, maybe Minister, when also you sitting with other African states, heads of state, we can raise this issue. You know, it's not only the pandemic that showed that Africa is a very slow responsive continent, but also the insurgencies that keep rising in the African continent. We are not quick in responding and curbing insurgencies even when we have finally developed that there is an insurgency, like in Mozambique, it will last for long, it lasts for years. And that also is caused because of our minerals, and because in Mozambique, it was caused because of the gas. So these insurgencies have a tendency of rising from the West and coming to South Africa, in Africa, to destabilize the continent, thus then disturbing our trade amongst each other. So we need to act in a united form as the African continent in curbing these insurgencies. Other than that, Chairperson, I would have appreciated if the presentation included more important, or not to say that these ones that they presented is not important, but more important exports like your tin minerals and your coffee, your pharmaceutical, scientific products, and maybe medical products, how Africa is trading with each other on such minerals. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Austembi. Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Bergman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Honorable Nkosi, that's fine.
Is Honorable Bergman or me?
Yeah, no, it's you, Burak. Honorable Nkosi. Sorry. I thought maybe you're muted.
No, I'm not. No, thanks, Chairperson, and I wish to welcome the input by the department led by the minister. The input is aptly delivered by Ms. Makuwe. I just first want to ask a general question that relates to oversight before I go to the specific questions. I just want to ask the department whether myself as a member located in Pretoria can come into the department to conduct oversight on my own and take those learnings back to this committee, because I think closest to the department, it's easier for me to do that, or at the second level, there are a number of people I know in the department. Can I, in an unstructured way, interact with them and then bring those issues to this committee? While I think there's nothing that prevents me from doing so, I believe in a structured relationship between the department and the portfolio committee based on our strength plan. So if the department allows it, I can walk into South Park building, OR Tambo on South Park anytime. But with that as it may, my questions are as follows, Chair. I take from the last point made by Ms. Makuwe on quarterly sectoral meetings. And my questions are, one, is there prior planning done between the department and all other departments involved in bi-national commissions before we even agree on and accept the areas that in which we are going to be involved in those bilateral relations? And related to that is, in the African continent, how many bilaterals do we have, and how often do we evaluate and assess the impact that these are making in those countries, but also in South Africa? In other words, what are the offsprings and the gains that we make from the direct foreign investment that we make in those countries? There are two major projects that are happening in the continent, particularly in the past year. The Google, or I think it's Google, is laying a cable in the continent, I think, from the north to the south to enable easy connectivity. What are the benefits that the department has assessed or is about to assess of this laying of that cable? It's not done by and through government. It's a private sector initiative. But surely the department should be aware that in no time, in less than 10 years, connectivity will improve because of the laying of this additional cable on the continent. The second thing is that in the central and part of Northern Africa, there are gas explorations that are directed to Europe to intervene in the wake of the gas problems that Europe has. Has the department taken note of that? And are we ensuring that as a continent we benefit from those? It's a project that has been revived. It has been there for many years, but in the wake of the Russia-Ukraine crisis, it's revived. Chair, the other question is how do we address problems, particularly those faced by South African companies in the host countries? I noted in the slides that there is something referred to as post-investment management. But often we do find that South African companies face serious problems in host countries. Related to that, how does the department ensure that South African companies do not undermine labor laws in the host countries and bring practices that will not be tolerated in South Africa itself? We've had complaints, for example, in Kenya or that South African companies bring unfair labor practices when they engage in economic activity in those countries. In a joint meeting between ourselves and...
Thank you very much.
Yeah?
It's finished. There's no hand. You must go. Hello? To the... Sorry.
Am I finished? May I continue, sir?
Thank you, member.
May I continue? Honorable Faber must do what he said must be done to...
Yeah, continue, Honorable Nkosi.
Yeah. I say in a joint meeting between ourselves and DTIC, we're informed about the revamping of the rail network in SADC to ensure connectivities of all harbors and ports. What is the progress in regards to that? The other issue relates to gas and oil explorations in both Mozambique and Namibia. Is the department in discussion with sister departments to look at the potential economic benefits of these for South Africa? And is there a way of positioning South African companies to leverage on these explorations? That's the first part of the question. The second part of the question, are we in discussions with DPE or Minerals and Energy on possible exploration of same on our shores or the territorial waters that belong to South Africa? The last question, Chair, is a general question around government and business initiatives. It's clear that in government, there's no coordination, and I'm making this with caution. There is no coordination between DECO and the economic sector departments in with regard to investment attraction and driving investment in the continent and elsewhere. What are these mechanisms? Why are they not there? And how often do we engage in those mechanisms to ensure that we sit as South African Inc.? Secondly, what is the relationship between business and government in a structured way that drives South Africa Inc. in its engagement in the continent? The experience is that government-led initiatives often tend to be reported directly through DECO and DTIC, but private sector-led initiatives are often not reported, or they're reported only when there are difficulties and problems that these experience. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Darfma.
Chair, thanks very much. I'm glad I went after Honorable Nkosi because he asks a very important question about oversight, and I think it's one which the courts and the judge answers, but it's one also that if a lot of our MPs went on their induction course, they would learn a lot about what their job is actually entails. And a lot of the time we don't do our jobs properly because either we don't know our jobs, or we're too lazy to do our jobs, or we're too scared to do our jobs, or we actually maybe, you know, we corrupt ourselves. And what the court was saying is that a member of parliament has what's called the power of oversight. And one of the reasons they have the power of oversight is so that certain MPs that don't believe in fairy tales, that don't believe that the officials are going to write us a report that says this official was corrupt and this official beats their employee and this official takes leave all the time, those MPs that are not so gullible would then rather go on oversight and see for themselves. And I think it's important then that those MPs, that they're still good MPs that do their jobs, that are not scared or lazy or corrupt, or that actually know their job description. And what you would find is those MPs that actually do oversight and don't do oversight because they invited into a nice red carpet building because they announced that they're coming and they prepared and...
Honorable Berman.
Chair, I take very
serious...
No, Chair, don't intervene. I take very serious umbrage to the insinuation made by Honorable Bergman. In the first place, I'm not directing the question to him. He's got no response.
Is that a point of order?
No. Yeah, it's a point of order, Chair. You're not chairing this meeting. Can you keep quiet?
I don't know if you know your point of order, if you don't know what oversight is.
No, just shut up for now.
Honorable, learn your job.
No, Chair.
No wonder your own party tells you to shut up.
Chair, may I...
Honorable Bergman.
I did not...
That's why his own party interrupts him.
No, Chair. May I please intervene on my behalf? I don't need this intervention by this member.
Okay, Honorable Bergman, let's hear what is the point of order. Honorable Kohli. Yes, I was going to question you. The reason why I spoke, Honorable Bergman, I was going to question you that your focus is on issues raised by another member and not the report presented. But let's hear, Honorable Kosi.
No, Chair, may I just apologize for using the word shut up. I got a bit carried out. I unconditionally apologize for so.
Okay, no problem.
I'm just saying that, Chair, that the question I directed is directed to the department on structured oversight. I do not need an intervention by this honorable member trying to teach me what he thinks subjectively, his understanding of oversight. And please ask him to desist from doing that. Otherwise, I will interject.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosi. By the time you came in, Honorable Nkosi, I was about to plead with Honorable Bergman to come to the subject matter. And as you say, your question was directed at the department. And matters related to how we can do oversight, that's a matter that we can discuss as a committee on our own without the department being there. So, Honorable Bergman, I think you went a bit overboard in the process. But I get your point. What you are trying
Thank
to
you,
say.
Thank you, Jay. So, I always just like to help my colleagues when they... sorry, I was just helping.
Okay, let's come back to the subject matter.
I don't need your help.
Chair, thank you.
Okay, Honorable Bergman, let's proceed.
Right. Chair, in
cool down, Honorable Members. Proceed, Honorable Members.
It's just the one member, Shane. Chair, with regards to the what we've got in terms of what the presentation, which I agree with, is a very broad presentation and I think important. Starting with BRICS, I think your input yesterday, understanding with BRICS is that when it came with, again, and I mentioned it last time, with our position in terms of the Russia-Ukraine, in BRICS yesterday, you saw that Brazil, India, China, they've all managed to leverage a lot more from Russia in terms of their membership with BRICS and with what's happening in Ukraine. And unfortunately, I think it's just South Africa that hasn't managed to leverage more to assist the pockets of a normal South African or any South African in terms of a better, let's say, discount. And as I mentioned, as examples, were oil or fertilizer or anything that we get from Russia or concessions that we would get from BRICS were negotiated through our membership in BRICS. And I was hoping that one of the speeches or one of the inputs would have spoken to that. And I'm hoping that we still have time to use that opportunity to get there. And then when it comes to the inputs, again, agreeing with my sister, the intra-Africa trade is most vital to Africa. And that's where our focus has to be. Intra-Africa trade is at 1.7% of our GDP or of intra-Africa GDP, which is very, very low. And part of that problem, as I always say, is actually infrastructure. So I know that when President Zuma was in the chair, he focused on wanting to build a highway from the north to the south and from the west to the east. And I think it's important that we look at how we can first, before we even look at the free trade agreements, is how we're looking to get infrastructure between the countries in Africa that you can move trucks, you can move trade between the countries, that we can increase the trade within our countries. Now, when you look at free trade, it's not just the infrastructure, but it's also our borders. And again, what we saw during COVID and what we see a lot during riots or unpeaceful times, we see the closing of borders. And some of these can take truck drivers will be on borders for 5 days and stuck for 5 days without water or food or whatever the case may be because countries don't talk to each other. Now, the problem with this, and I know that it's not our department, and I've often asked the minister in questions, and I'm hoping that the minister, again, will take this up in the cabinet, but we've got a double border system. And maybe we can start in SADC, but then we can push it to African Union. The double border system is going to cost us both in corruption, cost us in costs, and cost us in delays. And if one of the biggest barriers to free trade agreements is a double border system, because where you're looking for, where you're looking to provide a quicker movement of goods, to have a delay on a border because the one border has delayed you and the other border wants to facilitate you, you know, you've got a problem. And one of the best examples of this is often people phone me and say, look, listen, I've just been stuck on the South African border going into, let's say, Botswana or Swaziland or whatever. And my advice to them, besides trying to get through to one of the embassies in those countries, is to just try another border. Because what one border guard might say in one border, another border guard will say something different. And 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. They get stuck on the one border, but then they go to the other border gates and they get let in, no problem. So what you're seeing is with one border gates, that would all change. Now, that type of reciprocity should be looked at straight away, especially with the introduction of the BMA and visas. And visas is a pet hate of mine, as the minister knows, because the previous minister, Malusi Gigaba, had already promised many countries that they would either be visa-free or that they would already be on e-visas. Now, for a lot of these countries in Africa, we can land in Africa and we can get our visas issued while we land. We don't have to get returned back to our country. They can actually issue those visas as we wait in the airport line. And I think that the minister has to push her counterpart in Home Affairs to start pushing for these e-visas, a lot of the time they are more hindrance than a reward. We don't get a lot of money for it, but we scare off a lot of investments and we scare off a lot of tourism, because people that are bringing a lot of tourism dollars are actually getting scared off, because it takes so long between a diplomatic bag or between the actual processing of the visa. It takes so long for them to actually get the visa here that they decide they'd rather go to another country and rather do it there. And I know that, again, Councillor Sonny said last time about America and that it could be racial profiling. No, America and Britain, they do have their delays. They've got their delay in processing, and they just like South Africa. Every country has their delay in processing, so it's not just prone to South Africa. And it's not a racial thing necessarily. Everyone is also prone to it. I mean, it can take you 180 days in South Africa to get an appointment. But these type of things in South Africa, is if we can get it right here, we can attract tourism and investment from our African countries into Africa. But one of the biggest advertising posts for it is how we treat our fellow Africans. And I'm not talking necessarily just about the ZEPs. I'm talking about how we would treat the idea of how we go about processing the ZEP. So, you know, someone that's been entrenched, we've already given them a bank account, we've already allowed them to buy a car. That person, surely there's a way to entrench that person into South Africa far better than a person that is committing crime in South Africa. So there has to be a way in which we catch those that don't belong in South Africa, and we get them out of South Africa, we process them out of South Africa. But those that belong in South Africa or that have been in South Africa for long enough to have had a bank account or be part entrenched in the system, that we treat them we treat them better. In terms of our policies, and I know that we're going to have a presentation on the national interest, so I'm going to leave a lot of that for them, but our hypocrisy in how we deal with a lot of our counterparts in SADC and the AU, we've got to be more consistent. You know, how we will interfere in the DRC, but we won't interfere in Zimbabwe. We're getting to a stage now where Rwanda and the DRC are on the eastern front, it's getting quite nasty, and SADC is going to have to intervene at some stage, and it's going to be a conflict of interest for South Africa, and the minister is going to be called upon, or the president's going to be called upon. And we should have a principle of when to engage or when not to engage, and not just a loyalty to people or loyalty to a country based on the past, but rather based on principle. And one of the important things that South Africa with money can play is election monitoring. That when it comes to a diary of a lot of electioneering that's taking place on our continent, we can boost SADC, or we can boost ourselves with more election monitoring, which I think is needed in a case of Africa. I don't think it's up to the EU or to America or anyone else to tell Africa whether the election is free or fair. I think we would know more about the climate in Africa. And an election monitoring doesn't start 2 weeks before an election. Of course, the election monitoring starts straight after the last election takes place. And I think there are ways in which South Africa could lead the election monitoring on the continent. And then just while the minister's here, in terms of the grey listing and terrorism that has been mentioned, well, the terrorism that has been mentioned, that is a risk to us. The grey listing is the biggest risk to South Africa in terms of financing, because of the effect that it can have on the pockets of all our people in South Africa. So how we negate this, and again, it's not the minister's responsibility, it's the cabinet's responsibility. So how we deal with our neighbours, and who our neighbours let in or who our neighbours let out, and who's allowed into our country, and how the financial flows are allowed in and out. And I'll give you an example, is that our embassies, how they work with each other, this is something in terms of our grey listing, is that we need to be able to ensure that we are looking through that checklist, and we are making sure that everything we do is to counter and ensure that we do not get grey listed, because I can guarantee you, as Simchabalala says, that South Africa does not want to be grey listed. And just sorry, Chair, two more points. The second last one being that our embassies in Africa, we have some of the worst maintained embassies in Africa compared to our own African countries. And we've been to Namibia, we've seen land in Senegal, we've seen in Morocco, we've seen the ambassador there trying to make his own money last long with his own budget. A lot of our land parcels and a lot of our own missions are really left to their own devices, because I don't know if it's a sense of because it's Africa, we believe that, you know, we rather focus on other things. But if we look in Malawi, we look in a lot of the places where I go in Africa, I often just take a drive out to oversight these areas as a matter of fact to see how we're doing and really to try and meet the staff there and to encourage the staff in terms of the great job that they're doing under the circumstances. And it's often that, unfortunately, they have to work in properties that are actually operated by public works and not by international relations. So it's not very good for morale. And sometimes it's not even safe. You know, when you're getting into a lift that can get stuck, that has a 45% chance of getting stuck, you know, these things are scary. Or as I say, you know, you drive past some of the prime land in Senegal that's South African land, and it's looking like it hasn't ever been kept at all. And as I say, lastly, in line with the grey listing, a company like McDonald's has sent me a message that they got threatened, their manager was threatened the other day because they report illegal connections to their electricity in some of their branches. You don't want a company like McDonald's to close shop in South Africa. You know, that's not the kind of message that we want. So again, it's a multi-stakeholder. It's not just the responsibility of international relations. It actually becomes a responsibility in-house, domestically, of how we come together to ensure that we can maintain relationships with direct foreign investment inside South Africa, that they can report, a multinational company can report something like illegal connections and still feel safe within South Africa. Chair, thank you for allowing me my input. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Faba. From my side, Honorable Minister.
That was a big insult, eh? That was Bergman.
Honorable Bergman.
Oh, sorry.
Insult for me.
Yeah, it's not delivery, don't worry. It's a small thing. Honorable Minister, there's somewhere in the report where it's indicated that some of the member states in SADC haven't yet come on board in as far as the protocol around the trade is concerned. Which member states are those? And are they being engaged separately or outside the structures in a bilateral, so that they can quicken up the process to come on board? The second matter is around the us reporting quantitatively on these investments that are taking place in the African continent. I appreciate the report. I can see it's indicating part of our expectation around the quantum in as far as investments is concerned in the African continent. But because we are building a non-sexist South Africa, it will be important for us to show the extent to which these investments in the African continent from South Africa are reflecting the presence and participation of women. Not currently, going forward, I think we need to do that. But also, in addition, as one has said in the past, it will be important to indicate as to whether these companies that are from South Africa investing in the African continent, are they helping us to change the status quo in as far as economic history is concerned in South Africa, or are they entrenching the status quo?
because as part of building a non-racial South Africa, we will have to continue to uplift the black people at all fronts, at the same time, making sure that you don't totally displace or erase what has been existing economically, such that at some point, future generations can inherit from the current generation what will have dealt for South Africa as non-racialism in economic terms. Otherwise, the report was very good, Minister, but I think going forward, as other members have said, it will be very helpful to the portfolio committee, and we will be able to disseminate this information widely on the ground in the country as part of our oversight work. Over to you, Minister, and the team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will, from time to time, have to ask Ambassador Mokoena to step in, and particularly Ambassador Mokoena, if you could just prepare yourself with respect to the Chairperson's question, that will assist me. But let me begin sequentially, Chairperson, from Honorable Mpanza, and say that it is difficult to directly follow the line, as Honorable Mpanza was suggesting through his question, that we should be able to indicate whether the initiatives we refer to are actually impacting on communities in rural areas, or indeed in the township economy, as he mentioned. I can only respond to this translation idea in the following way, by saying that firstly, it's important that what we're talking about are some state-owned companies, and then companies that are essentially private sector actors in South Africa. And our role is primarily a facilitating one. We are not, as Durco, direct actors. We are not business actors ourselves. So we're talking of private companies, be they state-owned or fully private sector-owned. But here's my response to the translation. Chairperson, in framing the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, the government had as one of the key priorities agriculture and expanding agricultural production, particularly in the area of exports of citrus and other food products. The government undertook that we should, as through the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform, provide support to smallholder farmers that had begun to produce products that could go into markets, and to provide them with support into the logistics train of export of agricultural goods. A target of about 2,995 support measures were proposed of smallholder farmers, over 2,900. I've been looking at the latest of the reports. The support has reached, in this time of implementing the ERRP, around 1,904 smallholder companies. So there's still a way to go, but there is progress being recorded. Those smallholder farmers who range from 20 hectares, probably up to your smaller hundreds, have got into a number of value chains of export of agricultural products into the African market, but also beyond Africa. So it would mean, Chairperson, if I take the translation notion presented by Honorable Mpanza, that a smallholder farmer somewhere in Mpumalanga or the Eastern Cape has become part of the value chain of exporting goats to the Kuwaiti and United Arab Emirates market, for example. That smallholder farmer now employs more farm workers on the farm. And because we don't have sufficient volume for the orders that are coming in this area of livestock, the smallholder farmer then begins to work with other smallholders so that you build more smallholders participating in this enterprise. Are we addressing inequality through this? I don't have a measure, but I know that the producers in the Eastern Cape that have become part of this product line are primarily Black, some are women. They're mainly in the rural parts of that province and other provinces in our country. On the township economy, I'm aware of young people involved in producing sneakers, t-shirts, and other products and design goods. And these are getting into markets in Africa, in Europe. So yes, but I cannot honestly say it is something that I am tracking. It is what I'm aware is happening. And I would say that the department that might bring the best information on this would be trade, industry, and competition, but also the other departments which are working in some of these sectoral areas. But certainly, I think you are seeing small and medium-sized businesses benefit. So when you're talking in the textiles, and there are particular product lines Ambassador Mukwena referred to, it would be women in communities that haven't been enjoying this opportunity for several years. And they now begin to produce goods that you see in Mauritius, in the Seychelles, in other parts of the continent. So there are opportunities being presented, which are new and growing opportunities. But I, as you know, the minister here in Durko, I don't seriously devote time to tracing the line. Where I do pay attention is the South African company that seeks to trade in an African country enjoying the access that it should? Is it hindered in what it seeks to do in the economic space? And then the other areas which I'll come to, which are in some of the questions, those would be some of the areas I look at. The direct translation might be something DTIC would look at, as well as small and medium-sized and small business department. But I am aware of some of the developments which do accrue to previously disadvantaged members of our society, as well as to the township economy, rural areas, and so on. With respect to the Honorable Hendricks, I must say that I'm glad the Honorable Hendricks, and I hope other members, are taking up opportunities for community development and community projects that are offered by the various UN agencies such as UNICEF, the WFP, and others that are hosted through the UN Coordination Office in Pretoria. So I'm glad that that is happening. As the department, I know we have actively promoted the take-up of halal products from South Africa because we believe we have a good, well-established, very competent sector in this area of halal goods. We've been able to assist in securing significant business contracts by South African companies in the halal product area in a market like Malaysia, We are now looking to Indonesia. Honorable members would know we've become an observer to ASEAN, and we are hoping through that role, more opportunities in this halal trade area will become available to South African companies. on Grootville, I do know Grootville, and I know of Chief Albert Lutuli, and I do wish the community members who are producing or intending to produce peanut butter, I wish them success, as announced by Honorable Hendricks. On Honorable Faber, I would agree with the Honorable Faber that indeed it would have been a good idea when you focus on economic diplomacy, that DTIC may also be considered. I hope we've been able to do a credible job speaking of ourselves as DIRCO. We work with other departments. We've illustrated these in a number of the slides that we've presented to you. And I think it's important that we encourage a meeting with any of the portfolio committees that you, Chair, may believe is a necessary combination of committees. On whether we are subsidizing other countries, well, the petroleum, I believe, is not owned by South Africa, the government. It may be companies that sell at a lesser rate, or indeed, it may be that the governments in SADC countries provide a higher subsidy level than our government may do in South Africa. But again, I think here at DTIC, all minerals and energy would be able to explain the formulae that are related to the petroleum various levies that impact on the price in South Africa. On BRICS, Chair, we were not asked to present on BRICS. It was economic diplomacy with respect to Africa. We've had previous presentations on BRICS, and as the Honorable Faber would be aware, BRICS countries, particularly China, remain the largest and significantly growing trading partner of South Africa. Russia far less, but certainly India, a growing economic trade being engaged in, and the move to shift the trade balance in our favor more and more by having more goods going into India. So we are working hard to make the BRICS relationship work for us. It's a really great club of countries, hence the number that are approaching us, since we will be assuming the chair from next year, to consider expansion of BRICS. Honorable Msani is correct that we did not focus primarily on implementation of AFCFTA. As the Honorable Msani is aware, the AFCFTA came into operation from January 2020, and she would be aware that with a free trade area agreement of this immensity, there are a number of steps that would need to be put in place in order for effective implementation of the agreement. Among them would be agreements on rules of origin, which are almost at a concluded stage, various offers on tariffs with various goods, discussions on non-tariff barriers and how these are dealt with on the continent. All of this is being handled by the trade and industry ministers, and I'm sure Minister Patel would be able to provide a report. We certainly could get a report from trade and industry and have the relevant colleagues present to the portfolio committee. There is a plan on infrastructure, and I think that should also perhaps be included when a presentation on the AfCFTA is made, and we're fully aware that the infrastructure logistics are the key area, as is the common payment system, the automatic payment system, the matters of customs and revenue management, which are such key areas in a free trade agreement process. On the African Pharma Company, at the last meeting of the Executive Council of the African Union, we agreed that we should operationalize the African Medicines Agency, which has been a key focus area of AU for several years. And given that we are now producing vaccines, diagnostics, and other medical tools, we felt that this was an opportune moment to bring the AMA into operation. And this has been agreed, especially now that the African CDC will be an agency of the African Union. So indeed, we're working on this African pharmaceutical company idea. But I think given different rules around registration of pharmaceutical products, we still have a lot of work to do to have a common African framework. But the matter of pharmaceuticals and the pharmaceutical industry per se are key focus areas for us in the context of the African Union. I agree with the Honorable Msani that we should do more work on awareness of what this anti-African sentiment. I don't think it's anti-foreigner, it's anti-African sentiment that we have in our country. And it's something that we certainly should do more work on. I've been speaking to public diplomacy about this, and we're looking at what might be done. I think, Honorable Msani, on response to insurgencies, as individual nations, we can't intervene if the country that is experiencing the insurgency does not agree to a regional or indeed a continental intervention. It took us quite a while to agree, to have Mozambique agree that we have a SADC mission. And once that had been agreed, we were then able to move fairly speedily, and we are seeing positive results. But countries tend to want to address the problem themselves, and that often causes the delay that you have referred to, but there are real efforts to address this. On the one-stop border initiatives that you referred to, we are seeing Home Affairs lead in this regard. It's still very much a new area. I think Honorable Bergman touched on some of what needs to be done. We need to improve the borders. We need to improve how we deal with goods versus persons, and really have a much more seamless operation in terms of management of immigration and movement of goods and services across the continent. I think our report indicates, while it doesn't touch all products or all minerals that are found in Africa, I think it gives a sense of some of what is being done. You mentioned coffee. One of the big products from the continent is cocoa. And we are really glad that South Africa and Ghana have agreed that they're going to work together on production of quality chocolate. Ghana had already started, and they've asked to work with us in order to expand the initial production base that they've built. So we are sharing experience and expertise on the WHO hub, regional hub that Ambassador Mokoena reported on. You would know that we have spokes throughout the continent, that are smaller regional sites. One of them is in Rwanda. And again, South Africa is assisting with getting that site up and off the ground, including in training young postgraduate students to be able to work in that pharmaceutical and vaccine production hub. With respect to Honorable Kosi, well, I'm not sure because Honorable Bergman didn't finish what he said, but I do know that Parliament has particular rules on oversight. And I don't know, Honorable Bergman suggested he has a way of getting information, et cetera. And I don't know, MPs are not gullible. I didn't quite get the thrust of what Honorable Bergman was referring to. I think the committee would have to discuss this matter of individuals approaching the department and saying they are practicing oversight. I would be wary because I think we also need to be alerted because we do have programs, and it would be most, I think, unfortunate if an honorable member walked into the department and found that we had a workshop and could not pay attention to them and so on. But I can't say that we close and lock the door if we see a member approaching. I just think my understanding is oversight is managed through the portfolio committee, and that the committees have been given that oversight role, and it is Parliament. I'm not sure that it is that Parliament says individual members can walk in and then say, I'm doing oversight, give me this. So I'm not sure. On quarterly meetings, yes, there is prior planning, and colleagues have begun the practice of developing an agreed framework and agenda. And on MOUs, there is discussion in South Africa when we are planning to have a bilateral engagement with a particular country as to what areas are viable for agreements or exploration for cooperation. On the number of bilaterals with African countries, I'll ask Ms. Mokwena to assist with that number. What are the benefits to South Africa? I think some of them have been presented in the report that we've put before you. Indeed, we're aware of the Google cable and are excited that Google have chosen that it would begin from South Africa. I understand its size and capacity in terms of bytes is in the terabytes region, which is extremely significant capacity for connectivity. It's going to be a very important undersea cable connecting Africa and Europe. And we believe it's going to make an important difference to our ability to have 5G introduced and really provided on the African continent, and also expanding connectivity for distant communities that don't currently enjoy such benefit. We're glad that Google is partnering with a South African company in implementing this program. So yes, very positive for business development in Africa. I'm aware of the gas demands of Europe, given the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the threat around provision of gas by Russia. I know that already Algeria does have a connection to Italy as well as to France. And I know there are discussions between Tunisia, Algeria, and other countries in Europe. So yes, we're aware of it, but we are not party to it. We have reported on how we assist where there are problems in host countries. We might begin at the level of the mission. If it is not resolved, the issue, it might then come to senior officials in the department. then it could be the minister, and it may very well then have to have the president engage with a particular head of state. So we provide whatever assistance we can. On ensuring respect for labor laws, we make it very clear to South African companies that our expectation is that they would respect local labor laws. There have been complaints of abuse. You would recall there were some with respect to Zambia, and I think it was ShopRite at the time, and these were addressed. At times, it's demands for, you know, benefits and privileges that are far beyond the capacity of some of the companies to offer. There's also sometimes, you know, an abuse of the companies. So it's not that all our companies are at fault. Some have made mistakes, and these have been attended to. On the SADC rail matter, these potential projects have been discussed recently in the Minister's Council and between ourselves and Botswana on the recent BNC, and they are to be followed up by the relevant departments. There is currently appetite for addressing the paucity of rail connection within the SADC region. On the matter of Namibia, the oil find and the gas finds and the massive gas resources in Mozambique, I think, honorable members, we should be worried that in South Africa there seems to be a tendency of saying we can't explore whether we have oil or gas in South African shores. And this is very worrying because it means we're going to miss out on opportunities to benefit from trade in oil, in gas, and other minerals that may be found offshore. So we are quite worried about the recent losses in court, and we intend to continue to try to pursue these important opportunities. The matter of whether we are connecting to get contracts and provision of gas through Namibia, Mozambique is already in existence. But with respect to Namibia, this would be something that the Department of Minerals and Energy would be responsible for exploring. It's not true, Honorable Nkosi, that there's no coordination between DTIC and Treasury. Of the ministers in government, these are the two ministers I speak to most, in addition to the Minister of Agriculture and the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. So there is coordination. We are in constant engagement because that is the only way we can ensure that South Africa Incorporated is successful. We mentioned the structured links between ourselves, the business sector, and other actors, stakeholders. You know, we have established links, and these occur not just with DIRCO, but with other departments as well. The COMED that we established was to improve the levels of coordination. It wasn't because there is no coordination at all. Where I want to see improvement is with respect to the provincial international work, and I've begun to talk to some of the premiers on this, especially for the provinces where there's huge international interest. And I'm hoping that we also will be engaging with local government through SALGA, because we can't do it from municipality to municipality. Honorable Bergman made what seems to be a very well constructed speech, and I couldn't extract the questions because cannot quarrel with some of his notions. For example, he believes we should be doing more with Russia. I think you do trade with countries that wish to purchase your goods, and if you wish to make a shift
to a particular form of crude oil, it must be in line with what you're processing, because apparently crude oils differ. They're not all the same. And so it would be useful to perhaps pose the question, Honorable Bergman, to the Honorable Mantashe, as to whether this would be a beneficial move for South Africa. You would be aware that we do use maize much more as a grain in our country, and far less of wheat, and that we have diverse suppliers of wheat for South Africa. So there hasn't been an impetus to seek to leverage more on this BRICS relationship that you described. I agree with you, intra-African trade is far too low, hence the African Free Trade Area Agreement. And indeed, as Honorable Nsane has pointed out and you repeated, we must address the logistics of infrastructure, as this does deter the ambition of greater intra-African trade. And I've seen myself the border issues that you mentioned, that they are a real problem and need to be addressed. And as I said, the Department of Home Affairs is looking at this much more closely. Well, I think visas are a necessary evil, much as we might dislike them. Our problems around immigration and illegal migrants center around a poor ability to address some of the visa issues. I do agree that we should modernize, and we're trying to do so with e-visas and visas issued on arrival to particular countries. And once we have successfully learned and drawn on these, what are pilots, essentially, we will then be able to broaden in the way that you describe. I have been called all sorts of names, but I certainly don't practice hypocrisy. And what I say to the DRC, I say to Zimbabwe and other member states. And also, essentially, it is up to those countries themselves to determine their national direction. Where they require our help, we would provide it, should they be willing to partner with South Africa. But when they don't seek our help, we cannot force ourselves on them. The pity you see us as practicing hypocrisy. And I believe that label doesn't suit me at all, because I'm not in that vein. We do election monitoring, and I think Africa thus far is performing rather well. Most of the elections that have been held in the last 3 years have been found to have been conducted properly, and the AU, as well as our region, continued election monitoring, even in the difficult circumstances of COVID-19. A large part was done by virtual means, but we did have smaller numbers on the ground in each of the elections. And we continue to have election observers in where we are invited to provide, because it's not something that you just do yourself. And I must say, on the African continent, the level of voter participation is extremely high. The countries that you don't mention, Europe, America, have very low participation rates and appear to have less trust in their electoral systems than we have in our own. Grey listing and the threat of it is extremely worrying, hence the regulatory steps being undertaken by the cabinet. And of course, it's our responsibility, all of us, to address any threat to our country, our nation, that we as parliamentarians must protect. I am paying attention to improving the character of our chanceries and our residences and our missions. Yes, we have had poor maintenance, but from reports we've been providing to the Portfolio Committee that we have been initiating a number
of renovation and improved maintenance projects. You know that there are missions in which the lifts have been repaired and are now working. You know that we have plans to build facilities in a number of countries. These presentations have been made previously. I don't know any manager of McDonald's, and I personally have not received the message that you have referred to. But I think if there are such threats, those managers and executives should really report them to the police, because we want a business which provides employment and opportunities of ownership by locals in our country, that such businesses should be allowed to function. One of the things that we are concerned about are these construction mafia, these gangs that go from site to site in our country and actually stop projects from being implemented. This is sending a very bad signal around infrastructure investment, and it's something we, as honorable members, should pay close attention to and ensure that it is stopped. With respect to the members that haven't signed the protocol, Chairperson, we made a declaration, a decision at the last Ministers' Council meeting in Kinshasa in DRC, where we agreed that all the countries that have not signed onto the protocol, particularly on trade, must be approached by the Executive Secretary of SADC in the period from the summit to the next meeting of the Ministers' Council, and that we would want a report on why they have not ratified or signed on. We are not engaging them as South Africa. We believe this is a SADC protocol, and it's the responsibility of our full-time staff and the Executive Secretary to make this happen. I'm unable to provide the information, Chair, that you asked for with respect to women as a presence in the investments that have been referred to. I could only report that the one state-owned company that is beginning to really do impressive contracting on ports as well as on rail line modernization is Transnet, and the executive head of Transnet is a female, Ms. Darby. As to companies that participate, on the basis of South Africa's rules on equality and procurement, equality in particular, sourcing from small and medium-sized businesses would have to include a significant proportion of those companies being women in majority or indeed women led. So I hope that some of the work is addressing the negatives that continue to be part of our society, and that indeed we're seeing race and gender equity being addressed through the initiatives that Ambassador Mokoena illustrated in the presentation that we brought to the committee. Honorable Chairperson, I've tried to answer all the questions. I now wish to request you to allow Ambassador Mokoena to add where I may have been inadequate in my response. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Ambassador Mokoena.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Minister. Thank you for responding to all the questions, actually. I'll just close the gaps here and there, starting with the questions that the Chair asked. In particular, the number of bilateral engagements that we have with our countries of the continent, we have 41. And these straddle the areas of senior management, ministerial level, as well as BNCs at the level of president. So, Chairperson, we also must indicate that we are quite aware, and so are our missions throughout the continent, that whatever we do as DERCO and our missions must translate into a difference in the lives of our people, particularly the most disadvantaged. So what we have done as DERCO and our missions is to embed the whole issue of triple challenges, addressing triple challenges and reflecting how we're going to do this in our annual plans and in our mission annual plans. So we call them MAPS, mission annual plans. So in their country strategies, they would have indicated in the activities that they will engage in, how they will address the triple challenges. Chairperson, practically, if I may indicate, some of the structured bilateral mechanisms that we have been able to undertake or implement on the continent, we always take small businesses. We also target Black Business Council. They form part of our engagement in business fora. And if I may make a very clear example, there is a conference taking place in Eastern Cape, sponsored by the ECDC, Eastern Cape Development Corporation, around 14 to 15 September, to which we're encouraging embassies to also bring companies from their countries that have a focus on women and youth. There's also a conference that Transnet is going to be hosting on the 23rd of September, and the focus of the conference is on focus on Africa. It's called Focus on Africa. And even in that regard, we have invited embassies based in Pretoria to participate, a number of countries, particularly in East, Southern, and West Africa, will be participating at the Transnet one-day conference on the 23rd. Some of the questions raised by the chair were also reflected by Honorable Mpanza when he asked how our activities translate to ensuring that women also participate in the economy of our country or elsewhere. If I may make an example of this contract that OTT is looking at, that we assisted to facilitate, whether they will get it or not, if you look at how it will translate into jobs, those jobs, the bulk of which might even go to women and youth, even the enterprises that will be involved in the spin-offs that are coming out of that contract will be towards women, small enterprises, and medium enterprises. I would like to also make an example of the South Africa Week, which our mission in Mauritius is involved with our tourism department in scheduling for around, I think, September, October. Our mission is particularly targeting rural women, craft makers from Limpopo, Mpumalanga as well, who will participate in the South Africa Week. And CEDA is also participating in this. So I think, Chair, one can see that women will form the bulk of the craft makers that will be participating in Mauritius. This is just really one example. The minister has responded to almost all the questions, and just the one that I thought we could indicate around joint commissions or how we deal with the evaluation, which was raised by Honorable Nkosi, is that we have built into our structured bilateral mechanisms midterm reviews that take place in between joint commissions. So if joint commission is to take place every 2 years, so every year we would have built in a senior officials meeting or a meeting at the level of minister to establish whether we are making progress on the decisions that were made during the structured bilateral mechanism. Honorable Chairperson, on the issue of visas, Minister has been very, very clear, but if I can just indicate that Home Affairs is already piloting e-visas in a number of countries, and we are waiting for the outcome of such pilots. It does mean that they are moving in the direction where visa management will be much easier, perhaps, while we also ensure that our country is accessed within the right provisions and not otherwise. Thank you. I thank you.
Yeah. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the minister for the comprehensive responses in the process, alerting us of the important work that the department is doing and the efforts that the department is undertaking to try and improve coordination between the department and other departments. We also want to thank the team, the Ambassador Mukwena, and your team for the manner in which you reported on behalf of the department to the Portfolio Committee. Matters that relate to whether individuals or the committee and vice versa must do oversight, I thought they are straightforward matters. That we work through Parliament as portfolio committees. We are established as portfolio committees. As and when another member wants to do something somewhere, the convention has been that there will be a discussion between the chairperson and a particular member. If you act in your individual capacity as an MP, that is something else. But it will always be better that if you stumble into something wherever you are, it will always be better for such to be brought to the attention of the portfolio committee. But I think in our properly convened meeting, we can discuss some of these things, because learning is it's a perpetual thing in life. And we continue to acquire knowledge as we move on. I want to thank the honorable members of the portfolio committee, the staff, everybody else, the members of the public of South Africa who were part of observing and learning from the interaction between the department and the portfolio committee, and members of the media. This is how, honorable members, we come to the end of our meeting for today. We'll meet you in the sitting later. Thank you very much. The meeting is now closed.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.